This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولما توجه تلقاء مدين قال عسى ربي أن يهديني سواء السبيل. صدق الله العظيم. Subhanallah, the tale just gets so much more captivating, amazing, and I hope you are appreciating the beauty and the richness of the Quran. So, responding to the sentiments of this very sincere, genuine well-wisher, and honestly, today, my brother and my sister, really, can you find people that are sincere well-wishers? They are definitely there, but however, shirdhimatun qaleelun, they are few in number, they are few in number. Often when today people would give you something which superficially might have the flavor of your interest, it could be diluted or tainted with some ulterior or sinister agenda. May Allah grant us purity of intention and purity of motives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, so yes, there is this cloud of uncertainty hanging, and Musa alayhi salam has to leave in the cover of darkness. He needs to sneak out discreetly. And probably many of us might have a recollection, either the sudden termination of a job or something went pear-shaped in a union and a relationship, and no longer was that family your family now. Or you had to leave an institution, or you had to leave a location, or you had to leave, you were evicted by a landlord, and where you had spent your years, and those emotions can only be appreciated by the one who has experienced that. It's the one who loses his duvet that feels the cold. The one who loses the duvet feels the cold. It's easy to for someone else to say who hasn't lost his duvet, as the proverb goes. So verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sketches that image. Appreciate this. Sayyidina Musa is alone. But like I always say, and I've tweeted this year, if you have Allah with you, then you won't be lonely, though you might be alone. Yes, did you hear that, my brother and my sister? If you have Allah with you, meaning you have not disobeyed your Creator, you are obeying Allah, your reliance is on Allah, you will not be lonely, though you might be alone. There are many people out there that by circumstances are living alone, but they're not lonely. And there are other people who are living sinful lives, and there are many people around them, but within their own hearts, they are lonely. You read and view and listen to the tales, the stories of celebrities, prominent, affluent people, high flyers who had everything going in their life. And there was a void, there was a vacuum, there was a sense of emptiness. But hang on, you fill in the stadiums, you fill in the theaters, you fill in the shows, you've got so many people behind you. Despite the numbers with you, there's a sense of loneliness. That's irrefutable. I have seen this year, it's a common thread that is found across all these people who are searching for deen or searching to become more reformed in their religion, meaning non-Muslims coming into the deen, reverting to the deen, or Muslims who are unfortunately not practicing in the deen. Each one of them would tell you 10 things, but out of the 10, one would definitely be, I had fame, I had glory, I had wealth, I had popularity, but there was just this sense of emptiness, a sense of emptiness. Read it, I see it, and everyone without exception speaks about this year. So that's my message, and I often say this and advocate this year. If you have Allah with you, you won't be lonely, though you might be alone. And if you don't have Allah with you, then even if you have multitudes of people around you, within your own life, you will be a lonely soul. So yes, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam heads out, and of course he has the guidance and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said to Sayyidina Musa that when you were in the basket, wali turabba ala ayni, وَلِتُصْنَعَ فِي عَيْنِي, that you would be nurtured in my care and in my protection. Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ. You are in my care and in my protection. So let's see what happens now. Heading out to Madian, not like phoning someone, listen, I'm coming there, I'm going to put up at your place, please help me, what happened, I'll tell you later, I had an argument with my family, you know what, we had a breakup at home, and there's this marital feud, no, heading out lonely, Allah directs him, and instinctively, the coordinates go in the direction towards Madian, because this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had planned. When Allah plans it, it's just going to happen that way, my brother and my sister. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is a stone's throw from his dad in the well of Egypt. And Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam has no clue where his son is. And then when Allah decides the reunion of father and son, and he's at a distance of 8 days or 10 days or even beyond, according to the different historical narrations, Sayyidina Yaqub is like, Inni la ajidu riha Yusuf. Listen, people, I get the scent and the aroma and the fragrance of my son Yusuf. Lawla antufannidun. Provided you don't think I'm old and aged, frail and senile, that I'm just uttering things. But I'm telling you, I can actually get the scent. So a distance of more than 10 days, and he gets the aroma of his son. And prior to that, his son was dropped into the well, which was in close proximity. But he did not get the smell of his son, because at that time, the decree of destiny was separation. And when Allah had ordained the reunion, then ashammallahu riha Yusufa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam to get the fragrance of his son Yusuf, notwithstanding the distance. Okay, so verse 23, follow along. Wow. And let's just tie it up with the context of Qasas al-Nabiyyin, Shaykh Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'a. Here we have it. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam takes the name of Allah and he travels. Jalalain says it was approximately 8 days. Allah alone knows how he survived. I didn't come across anything in any narrations that explain or give context or meaning. But as the ruling of the Quran, or as the advice of the scholars of tafsir is, أَبْهِمُوا مَا أَبْهَمَهُ اللَّهُ. If Allah has left something vague and ambiguous, leave it to that. You don't need to probe it, and you don't need to unpack that. If there was any discussion or reflection in it for our guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have discussed it. So the Quran fast forwards to the point of arrival into Madian. Now, what's the first sight that meets Musa alayhi salam when he arrives in Madian? وَصَلَ مُوسَى إِلَى مَدْيَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ أَحَدًا وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ أَحَدٌ. He arrives in Madian, and he doesn't know a soul there, nor is anyone in this place familiar with Musa alayhi salam. فَمَنْ يَأْوِي إِلَيْهِ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَأَيْنَ يَبِيدْ. So where does he go? Who does he phone? Where does he take shelter? You know, sometimes a person phones you, listen, I'm stranded, I'm in a difficulty, I've got some financial constraints, can you just help me out? I'll sort you out. I'll talk to you later, I just need some help immediately. تَحَيَّرَ مُوسَى وَلَكِنَّهُ أَيْقَنَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُهُ. He had reliance and yaqeen and trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for him. Anyway, when he arrives there, one of the first sight that meets his eyes is a well. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنْ. And when he arrived at the water of Madian, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. And he found a group of people that were giving water to their flock. They were giving water to their flock. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. And he found besides the flock, besides the men that were giving their flock water, two women, تَمْنَعَانِ. They were restraining themselves, keeping their distance. They were standing aside, aloof. So he's entered. He sees a well, He sees a flock. This is the first sight. You know, you talk of you've moved into the city and I'm staying here for so many years, but I won't forget my first moment. The day I came, I remember distinctly it was a Monday. It was early morning. It was a cloudy day. There was rain and thunder. It coincided with the death of this person. You have these nostalgic memories to that place. So he enters into Madian, in which Allah has decreed his wedding and a stay here for him for a lengthy period of time. But we'll discuss this here. But this is the first sight, a flock, a group of people with their flock giving it water. And he finds two women, Tadudani. They are, you know, standing aside, aloof, and holding back their flock. وَتَنْتَظِرُ وَتَنْتَظِرَانِ أَنْ يَسْقِيَ النَّاسِ And they're waiting patiently, holding on to their flock, that the shepherds can give water to their flock, and then they will go forward. رَأَى مُوسَى ذَلِكَ وَفِي قَلْبِهِ حَنَانُ الْكَرِيمِ وَالشَّفَقَةُ الْأَبِ الرَّحِيمِ Sayyidina Musa observed this year that people are busy, they engrossed, they're moving back and forth, giving it, moving on, and he finds two young sisters, women, very modest, bashful, respectful, standing at the side, and in his heart was empathy and kindness. So this triggered an emotion of care for these women. And there's so much we can discuss and we need to discuss. And recently I spoke about this and I credit this to the Almighty for putting this thought in my heart and my mind. Appreciate the time in which Sayyidina Musa is offering care, kindness, help, and assistance to the vulnerable, the weak, and these young two sisters. He's doing it at a time when he needs more help than them. You are tired. There was a warrant of arrest against you. You had to flee from your native place. You haven't eaten for 8 days. You haven't had adequate shelter. You haven't rested properly. So you are more vulnerable than them. You need more help than them. And hence I say, my brother, and I appeal to you, my sister, perhaps the help you are waiting for is actually waiting for you to help someone else who's more desperate than you. And that would be the catalyst for goodness to come in your life. I know you're waiting for someone to knock your door and give you good news. كَمْ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَرْجُ الْبَشَارَ فَتَبْدُو لَهُ الْخَسَارَ وَكَمْ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَرْجُ الْعَطَى فَيَبْدُو لَهُ الْبَلَى The Arabic poet says, people get up in the morning hoping, oops, there's a beep on the phone. I just wish somebody wants to give me a gift or acknowledge me, or somebody's inviting me, or I got a complimentary ticket, or I got a free holiday. On the reverse, you get an alert to say you're owing money, or you know what, there's bad news, there's been an accident. You're hoping for a pleasant discovery, and on the reverse, it is something nasty. I know you're hoping for a miracle, and I'm also hoping. You're dreaming, and I'm fantasizing. You're optimistic, and I'm in wishful thinking. But hang on, here we get a message. Maybe it's time for us to reach out to someone who's more desperate, who's more vulnerable, and that would be the catalyst to attract good. So listen along. Musa alayhi salam observes these two women, they're standing aside. Notwithstanding, my analogy is simple. You alight a long haul, a 14-hour flight. At that time, when you get off, and remember, you're traveling in relative comfort, but it's just different time zones. It's, the cabin pressure, your mind is caught up, you need to get to your hotel, settle in. Do you have the mind and the thought to help someone at the airport who probably is trying to find his terminal or his gate? And I often say this here, one of the acts of ibadah that we can do at an airport is to take people, help people. Sometimes you would find old people, and I say this in gratitude to the Almighty, I have in my humble ability, only as a motivation to others, I'm saying this here, helped elderly people. The person is lost. He broke away from his group. He doesn't understand which terminal, which gate, which flight. He's not literate enough. He cannot tie up his boarding pass correctly. Help the man. Don't tell him just walk here. Take the escalator. Take the elevator. Hop onto a train. It will take you to the next terminal. Walk the man to his gate. And this is a great act of ibadah. But how many of us would have the time and the energy to do that when we alight a flight? No, because we're so tired. We need the bathroom, we need a washroom, we need a bed. Well, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's empathy is just indescribable. So, وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا What's the matter with you two sisters? Like, why alone you're standing, waiting patiently? Just see the element of kindness. And I often say, and again Allah puts this thought in my mind, today we prey on the vulnerable. P-R-E-Y. If only we can convert that E into A, and we start praying for the vulnerable, it will change the world completely different. Yes, we see two young sisters there. We exploit it. And unfortunately, this has happened, and it's so important. I mean, if you're traveling at airports, you would observe. It's so important. I myself have observed these type of encounters. And that is why it is important to protect your female and the woman folk. Just standing aloof, immediately somebody would come and make some advancement and back off, man. What are you up to? So sadly, today we live in a world where it is P-R-E-Y. Prey on the vulnerable. If only we can convert that E into A and we start praying for the vulnerable, then the planet will be a different place. Look at Musa. Well, this was a Nabi in the making. Ma khatbukuma, O sisters, what is the matter? قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي Who said you cannot assist, help, empower? Islam gives you guidelines. Islam gives you rulings. Islam gives you context. But within the parameters and within the boundaries, by all means, help the poor and the vulnerable. Help the weak and the destitute. Help those who need your support. That is why in Islam there is the ruling of the male mahram. And the scholars say that if that male mahram himself poses a threat, then he would not suffice as the ruling of a mahram. So a male mahram is there to protect, to safeguard the honor, the dignity of that sister, of that daughter, of that wife, of that mom, of that sister. But if he himself, unfortunately, is guilty of lustful advancements, and he himself poses a threat, then he is no mahram because he's offering no protection. In fact, there is fear from him. May Allah guide and protect one and all. مَا خَطْبُكُمَا What is the matter, O two sisters? قَالَتَا They both replied, لَا نَسْقِي We cannot give our flock water حَتَّى until يُسْدِرَ الرِّعَى Till the shepherds return. So it is mentioned in Bayan al-Quran. Due to modesty, if we're going to get into the crowd, then we're going to be rubbing shoulders with the men that are there. And of course, our modest nature, our bashful composition just wouldn't allow for that. And it's almost like they sense that Sayyidina Musa was going to ask the next question. Well, here, all those that are here have been represented by the men folk and the male members of the family to come and do this arduous task. I mean, taking the flock, coming, giving it. It's arduous. It's not easy and simple. A woman has been referred to in the hadith, Anjasha. Anjasha radiallahu anhu used to sing along when the camels were moving. And so the woman were mounted on. And then people whistle at their dogs, or people have a certain lyric towards their horse or whatever their animal is. And so Anjasha radiallahu anhu started singing something along. And this would, stimulate the camels. And they started moving with a swift pace. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rifqan bil qawarir, rifqan bil qawarir. Oh, Anjasha, gradual, slowly, take it easy. You know what? We have precious cargo on this camels here. This is glass. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referenced women to be glass. Why? Because of their fragile nature. This is how he elevated, honored, respected, and dignified them. And then you have the audacity to accuse Islam of misogyny and call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a misogynist? Hogwash. And I'm not even targeting the non-Muslim who blurts what he wants to. I'm saying to you, my Muslim sister, don't be a victim of this indoctrination and don't be a victim of this propaganda. Look at deen with the clear lenses and understand what Allah has laid out for you. It's wholesome, it's meaningful, it's rich. You are unique in your own way. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. And let not the males aspire to be like females. And let not the females aspire to be like males. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. For the men, they will be rewarded for the good that they do. For the woman, they'll be compensated for the merit that they achieve. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. And collectively, all of you ask Allah for His boon, blessing and favor. قالت لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير. We cannot go in that crowd. They are male there, and we cannot rub shoulders with them. And as for our dad, he is really old and elderly and senior, so he cannot come out. We leave it on that note. We have a tired, hungry Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, who hasn't slept for 8 days conservatively, that is the shortest duration explained between the two cities, hasn't had an adequate meal or any rest. And this is what he observes, the desperation of two vulnerable sisters. Let's wait and see what unfolds. May Allah bless us to learn from the rich lessons of the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.